Tears for Fears. A tune so big, it surely must have spent the entire evening gorging on chocolate cake. 93.9 Bob FM, this is Studio 93. My name is Vinnie White. I'm from England.
Hello!
As somebody said to me today, what's that about? Some bloke in a shop, sorry, some guy in a shop said, where's your accent from? That annoys me. Same place as me, that's a stupid question. I said, England, and he went, oh, hello! Hello, can I just get this bag of chips, thanks.
Hello! We all wear bowler hats, you know!
Tonight's clear, a low of minus 15. Shiver, shiver. Tomorrow's sunny, a high of minus 5, a low of minus 14. Shiver, shiver. Monday's sunny again. And guess what? It's cold. You wouldn't believe it, it's like Canada. Minus 6 as we speak, we're delivering fine tunes and we do it with some style. Not a lot, to be honest, but some style. And if you haven't heard it before,
don't leave me. Stay here. We'll raise a family.
Bob FM will now throw caution to the wind and hand the keys to our broadcast license over to Studio 93. Hosted by Mr. Vinnie White of the Whites of Brighton. And featuring a cast of thousands of new wave artists, odd dressers, and Ottawa party revelers. Enough bent there. Let the show begin. Studio 93 is on the air.
It certainly is, and it's an absolute pleasure to have all the chaps in the studio. Hello!
Good time too.
I have to say, one thing you didn't see is all you guys are facing me. So if you can imagine, I'm looking behind these guys and they're all looking at me across the desk. But what they don't know is there's a window behind them and various journalists were getting up and dancing in the background. You got that, did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That you're actually part of the newsroom that was supposed to be doing serious issues. We're dancing around. So you obviously
are you sure the game's not on and they scored or something?
Oh, yeah. Might have been that. You can hear Rude Boy at myspace.com/RudeBoyCanada, which is where I first found out about you guys. How did you form? How did you all come together in the first instance?
We all convened at this bar not very far from here. It was called the Liquid Monkey, and there was a rehearsal space just behind that, and we just sort of all fell through the cracks.
So you all came together, and you've made an album way back in 1989, is that right?
I think it was 1763, but anyway.
Then quite a long hiatus, yeah?
Yeah, we had kids.
Ah, that would do it
and,
every time.
You know, life gets in the way sometimes.
I presume with other people.
Yeah. No, we all had kids together.
I mean, I know you're close.
They're very strange looking.
That's good.
We started a commune.
And but then, obviously, these kids have presumably older than 10 years old, and you think, right, hang on a minute, I'm bored. I want to get back together and do
well,
this.
Well,
actually, let's put Craig on, because Craig is the man that brought it back together. Craig, use that microphone. Just tell us, how is it that you decided to bring everyone back together?
Well, it was a real kind of a Spinal Tap kind of a decision, because I kind of took the date off our original CD, and then I put last year's date on it, and I started mailing it all across the country for folk festivals, and I actually mailed it to Gene Simmons of Kiss, obscure band. I don't know if anyone has heard them. But, you know, he's jumping all over saying he loves us and this and that. And then we kind of were using his name and likeness to parlay that into other snowballing kind of things, other opportunities. And like Spinal Tap, I said, right then, we're number one in Japan. Shall we get back together?
It's actually a reasonable English accent, actually.
Thanks a lot.
I nearly threw you out the window, but it was good. It was passable. So you thought, yeah, all right, bring it back together. Now, at this point, it's difficult to sort of ask you all because you all had personal lives of your own. But collectively, you thought, okay, we've got kids. Some of us, life's moved on, but I want to bring it back together, yeah?
I just got tired of people asking me where the hell we were.
Yeah, after 10 years, you're like, all right, I'll put it back together, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And then you came back with your second album, which is called Two, yes?
Yeah.
And so far, so good.
So far, so good.
Well, if you're touring with the English Beat, you can't be doing too badly.
Ah, you know.
Let's hear a track.
It's all in a day.
Let's hear. Say modest. I've had loads of emails for the CDs, but we should also do giveaways of the rainbow tickets. Let's find another stupendously easy question. What can we ask the people this time to win tickets to see these guys at the rainbow? Give me a Scar-related...
Yeah, what was the name of that last song?
No, I don't think we said it, though, did we? I don't think we...
That's skill testing, isn't it?
It's repeated a lot.
No, it's too hard. Give me a Scar question.
What's the name of our first album?
Horn does the...
What kind of horn does Steve play?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would do. And he did that without using a musical instrument.
I'm going to sample that statement.
All right, give me the answer on an email only, please, because I've got so many things going on, there's no way I can answer the phone. Send me an email, vinny@939bobfm.com, and win tickets, a pair of tickets, to go and see these guys at the Rainbow. If you can tell me, what horn is this? Sounds like me after a curry. well, you just blew that horn over my punchline. And the drummer wasn't there with the drums for my punchline. Yeah, where are you?
He's always stepping on the punchline.
Right, I'll do it again. Hang on, yeah, we'll do that again. Sounds like... I haven't done it yet! Right, you do the horn, drummer wait. Sounds like me after a curry. Hey! I'm here all week.
We're all taking right. This on the road.
I'll come to Toronto with you guys. Okay, let's do another gig, another track from... which album are we going to do? You want to do the...
I think we're going to do one off our first record. Gimme, Gimme.
Sounds good to me.
This is the first song that we wrote with Rude Boy. And surprisingly enough, it's not ska. It's more of a calypso feel.
All right.
Yeah, so...
Wicked. Let's bring it together. Again, that email, if you want to win those tickets, vinny@939bobfm.com. And take it away when you're ready, guys. Flavors of the first track you ever wrote,
yeah.
Oh, lovely. It's so summery. I'm gonna do the weather now, and it's just not gonna feel warm enough when I say it.
No rain, don't say any rain.
Now give me some quite sunny music to do, a nice quiet sunny music, so I can do the weather with a bit of ska flavors perhaps. Let me go. Right. Tonight the weather is clear in Ottawa with a low of zero. Tomorrow sunny with a high of 21. All right. Into tomorrow night, it's increasing cloudiness with the possibility of some showers, but only for a couple of hours, with a low of 12 degrees. In Ottawa on Saturday, a mix of sun and cloud. Don't let it get you down, a high of 27. The warmest temperature of the year, it's heaven. 8 degrees right now, we're back with Rude Boy in a moment on Bob. Beat this for a headline. Pregnant Jehovah's Witness in bikini protest against school. Yeah, it's a bit weird, this one, to be even anywhere near honest. It's barking mad. This is the story of a woman called Mrs. King, who is a mother of five. And for many years now, she's been battling with the school that she lives next door to over who has rights and control of the hedge that borders school and her house. And it works out that it's been a legal battle and it's all gone a bit messy. And eventually, it's the school's right to do whatever the school wants to do to that hedge. So the school cut it down. And she was very upset about this. So what did she do? Well, she did what any barking mad lunatic would do. She decided to put a bikini on and walk up and down with placards for the school principal to see. She's been doing it every day. The placards say, "I think you should be a bit more loving." And the other one sometimes that she carries says, "God is love." Mrs. King is a mother of five who is 6 months pregnant. She said there's nothing wrong with her bikini protest and she's merely spreading the gospel according to Jehovah. Some neighbours in the area think she is, quote, mad. I'm not even sure if I can be bothered to get into logistics and legalities behind this. All I've got in my brain is a woman that's a mother of five who's 6 months pregnant in a bikini. Now, I am very pleased that there is no picture in this newspaper. Because that can't be that good looking, can it? Really? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying I'm a supermodel. Far from it. All right? The old beer belly on me has started to come back since I broke my collarbone. Right? I am in no position to say that I am a sex god. But I don't wear bikinis and walk around with placards. That's the difference here, you see. Mrs. King, mother of five, 6 months pregnant, in a bikini. That sentence alone makes me shudder. And you can imagine, kids aren't nice, are they? You remember what school was like? It was a nightmare. So you can imagine the abuse she's getting from the kid. Whew! She must be a tolerant woman, eh? Blimey. Nice weekend. I hope you had a good one. I was walking around the experimental farm yesterday, which got some very nice gardens based on an English country garden. And I was walking around them with a friend yesterday. Sunshine was out, taking a stroll with a coffee in hand. A lot of couples around, you know, lovey-dovey couples. Sorry, I said that with some resentment. Well, you know what it's like when you're single. People snogging or making out, as you call it, in front of you. Stop it! Take it home, for goodness sake. But yeah, I was enjoying my time walking around, and one particular part of the gardens, which is pretty much in the sort of central area near the farmyard buildings of the experimental farm, I couldn't help but notice there was a nice little pond, beautiful flowers around it. But on this pond was a duck, one singular duck. And I don't know if I'm just slightly over-paranoid, but I think that duck was paid to be there. He had no duck friends. He was there for the whole time. And he was sort of like a picturesque duck. It was too fake. It was... I think he was on a shift pattern, and I think he was paid. The weirdest thing was, right, the fact that there was no need for him to get in the water. It wasn't that hot. And obviously there's no fish in this pond because it was proper stagnant. But every now and then, he'd have a little dip, almost as if he was prompted by his boss, you know? Have a little dip, make it look picturesque. Work with your environment, go on. So that was weird, and I was starting to develop it with my friend when we discussed that couldn't be the case because the duck didn't have anything to eat. And it was at that point, and I'm not making this up, we noticed on a park bench nearby, unattended, was a bag of lunch. That duck, if you know the duck, I've called it Ed, I don't know his name, but I'm calling him Ed the Duck. That duck is being paid. He clocks on, he walks about, he acts like a duck to make the place look nice, and then he clocks off and goes home. It makes me sick. Tax dollars for Ed the Duck. Fact. Undisputable fact. And another bizarre news story. This in from Australia. What is wrong with those Aussies? What are they like? Melon smashing record poses real headache. That's the headline. A Queensland man will attempt to break his own world record by smashing more than 40 watermelons with his head. The four-day melon festival begins in a small town in Queensland. The festival president, Jason Johnson, says 29-year-old John Allwood set a record last year by using his head to break 40 melons in 1 minute. And he hopes to do better this year. He'll be having a go, said Mr. Johnson. Rumours say he'll do it easy. There are rumours he might be able to get someone to give him up for the challenge, but you can imagine it's not the easiest position to fill, said Mr. Johnson. Yeah, probably not that easy to fill a position, as would you like to go up against a man who holds a record for breaking 40 watermelons with his head inside a minute. It's probably not that easy to fill that position. Good reason for that. And also, I do stupid things every day. Most of them on this show. But regardless, I do stupid things every day, okay? And there's nothing wrong with doing a stupid record. I suppose it's all right. He's not hurting anyone. Well, his own brain cells, but he's not actually hurting anyone, really. But if you have got the record for smashing 40 watermelons with your head, right, leave it. You know, what do you want? So this year you're going to get 41. You already hold the record. Leave it. Do something somewhat more productive. I don't know. Make a watermelon stack of cards. Let's see how many watermelons you can stack up. Make a watermelon house. I don't know. Anything. Just stop smashing watermelons with your head. Mind you, to be honest, right, and no disrespect to this gentleman from Queensland, I don't think he's that clever. Is it me? You're too pretty for me. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? To think that so much that you'd write a song about it. I'm going to look up, because I don't know what State of Shock look like. Maybe they're named after the reaction that one gets when you look at their faces. Let's see what they look like. I mean, it's a terrible lack of confidence to write, maybe you're too pretty for me. So let's have a look. See what these guys look like. Yeah, they're all right, aren't they? That's quite cool. Got a leather jacket on. Looks like a normal rock star. Stop putting yourself down. You should rewrite that song. And it should be called Maybe I'm Too Pretty For You. You ugly warthog.
93.9 Bob FM.
Hello! It feels very good to be back. 3 minutes past six. Here, live and direct from the capital. My name is Vinny. Hi. How are you? I was off last week, so as always, I feel a bit weird about being back on the radio. It takes me a few minutes to get used to it. The concept of talking to someone that I can't see is a bit weird at first. But I'll get back into it. You look well, in my mind. Yeah, nice week. I like that. I went to the United America of States last week and I didn't get shot. It was brilliant. Went down to Vermont. Nice down there. Stupid speed limits. Stupid, stupid speed limits. That's what I've got to say about that state. 25 miles an hour through some towns. What is the point in that? Obviously, I got pulled over for speeding. That took all of about 10 minutes. And then I realised that I have to apparently drive like Miss Daisy in Vermont, as the crime level is somewhat lower than Canada and the cops are everywhere. So if you ever drive through Vermont, take it easy. That advice for absolutely nothing. Chilliwack, 93.9, it's Bob FM. My name's Vinny, I'm in for Steve today, and her name is Christy. Hello, dear.
Hello.
Always a pleasure, never a chore. Just read this story. Embarrassingly, it is actually from significantly close to where I'm from.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not a true representation of us, though. Apparently, an Oompa Loompa, Spider-Man, and Tinky Winky have been arrested in southern England after a drunken brawl at a resort, a holiday resort that was having a costume party.
Oh my gosh.
10 people in total were held after the bizarre clash took place in a nightclub. A suspect dressed as one of the Teletubbies, a youth poised as Spider-Man, and a 47-year-old father dressed as the pint-sized little, what do you call those things? Oompa-loompas from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. They were kept in the cells overnight. Yeah.
That would be a little bit embarrassing.
It's bad, isn't it? And yeah. One of the policemen said, you don't expect to see a Teletubby and Spider-Man having a brawl.
Which it sounds like a bad joke, too. So the Teletubby, Spider-Man, and an Oompa Loompa were in the prison.
It doesn't say here who won, but I'm thinking I want it to be the Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
You know, just for a weird twist of events. All I can, the only thing I can relate to this is I did once, I went to a costume party, mm-hmm. and I saw an argument about spilt beer between John Lennon and Big Bird. Very hard to take that seriously. And I have to say, I know John Lennon was a peace junkie, but I was on Big Bird's side all the way through.
You strange British folk.
Racist.
Can I get a lunch hour request?
Of course you can. I'll do anything for you.
Thank you. I'd love to hear some Bob Seger. We've got tonight. We've got tonight. Who needs... Well, let me sing it to you.
All yeah, right. Go on. Why not?
We've got tonight. Who needs tomorrow? We've got tonight. Boom. There you go. There you go.
I just cried a bit.
Oh, I love that song. My girlfriend loves that song.
I'm weeping. I'm emotionally overcome.
Okay. You probably did.
Your voice is so beautiful. It was like teardrops of angels falling on freshly created leaves.
Oh, my God. Now you are getting emotional. Okay, man.
Take care, mate. Sort of very briefly mentioned this last week, so I wanted to tell you how it went, as I promised I would. Saturday night, I was invited to the Prime Minister's house, along with lots of other local media types. And so, you know, it's not like I was hand-picked especially for being so wonderfully amazing on Bob. Although I did convince myself that. And yeah, I had a very good time, actually. It was beautiful conditions. It was a garden party in the Prime Minister's house. Some of the people I knew there from different media circles and stuff, but... Obviously, not being from around here, I didn't really know everyone at all. But I met some very nice people. It was all extremely civilised, with fantastic food, of course. Lobster and all that type of business, and the occasional cheeky little glass of champagne. I, of course, found that the beer tent was available and free, so I did my best to get my tax back. I had a couple of beers, you know. But the interesting thing was, of course, meeting the Prime Minister himself. Now, if you can picture the scene, he's standing in front of his absolutely beautiful house. And there's a lineup of numerous people, as I say, mostly local media types, all lining up to meet him and just have a very brief and casual, somewhat informal chat. Most people are wearing suits, as was I. Formal but casual at the same time, so no ties. And very nice, relaxed environments, music drifting over, the beautifully preened gardens. And as I queued up, I thought perhaps now would be a good idea to grab a quick beer because it looked as if I was going to be lining up for about 20 minutes. So my colleague and a few other friends that I was with at the time went off to get beers. And we were enjoying a nice beer in the lineup to meet the Prime Minister. And the time went by extremely quickly. It was all extremely jovial. And before I knew it, I was at the front of the line to meet Stephen Harper. And it was at that point that I thought, oh, I don't know what to do with this glass. I hadn't thought this through at all. So I had an empty pint glass, and I thought, I don't know why, and this is because probably, actually I do know why, because I'm a bloody idiot, that's why. I decided it would be a good idea to stick it in my inside pocket, which was absolutely ridiculously foolish on account of the fact that it looked like I had one large breast. And it was only once I put it into my inside pocket of my suit jacket that I realised I looked like I had a large breast, and my arm, therefore, my left arm, was... put in this position where I had to cover it, and I looked a little bit like a pirate with a fake arm where I just couldn't move it. Now, it was at this point I thought this was a stupid idea, so probably the best thing to do in the next 10 seconds that I've got of available time before I'm ushered to meet the Prime Minister is to pull it out and probably put it in a flower bed, the glass that is. So I thought that would be a good idea, but when reaching into my inside pocket to pull it out, I think the Secret Service guys around the Prime Minister thought I was going to pull out a gun. So at that point, I thought, actually, I won't do that. I've come this far. I'll now walk over to the Prime Minister with said glass in pocket. What could possibly go wrong? Which I did, and I met him, and he was absolutely wonderful and extremely polite, and as all things would expect of a Canadian Prime Minister, was quite a gentleman. But I can't help but thinking he was thinking all the time, what the hell are you covering? And it was a point. It was a point where I couldn't go back. It was the point of no return. So unfortunately, our conversation, as I introduced myself and my colleague, and had a very nice time and met him, it was polite but somewhat weird in the fact that I just could not relax with a glass in my pocket. So then, after a few minutes, I went back into the beer garden and thought the best thing to do would probably to revisit the beer tent and have a jolly good laugh about it.
Is there a difference between British accent and Australian accent?
No, there's no difference. They're exactly the same in every way.
They're exactly the same. So if I'm going on a blind date with this girl with an accent...
And so is South African. They're all exactly the same. And all the British accents are the same. Scottish is the same as Southern English, is the same as Welsh. All exactly the same.
Well, okay, well, I'm kind of screwed then.
Good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye.
My name is Anne. I'm from Montreal.
Oh, and that's nice.
I've been in Ottawa for 12 weeks because my mom's been in the hospital.
Aww.
But I'm calling not because I have a request, but because I think you're the best radio announcer I've ever heard. You're just lovely.
As the Brits would say,
you're bloody lovely. Because I listen to you, I'm on the way to the hospital now. I often listen to you back and forth, and I just think that you're just great.
Oh.
So I wanted to tell you that.
Well, that's very kind of you. I'm glad you called. Thanks very much. Give your mum a big fat kiss from me.
I will, darling. All right, you take care.
Cheers, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.